Welcome to Risky Business News, a podcast on the recent news from the cybersecurity industry. This is Cătălin Câmpanu, today is September 28, and this podcast episode is brought to you by Run Zero, an asset inventory and network visibility company. In today's top story, in a series of joint reports with Curium, the FR Lab and the UDIS Info Lab, Meta announced on Tuesday that it suspended Facebook and Instagram accounts that were part of a large network that originated in Russia. Meta's security team said this network of accounts began posting in May this year and targeted audiences primarily in Germany, but also countries such as France, Italy, Ukraine, and the UK. The accounts primarily posted links to over 60 websites carefully crafted to impersonate legitimate news organizations in Europe, including Der Spiegel, The Guardian, Bild, ANSA, and Tagesspiegel, among others. The clone news sites hosted articles that criticized Ukraine and Ukrainian refugees, supported Russia's invasion, and argued that Western sanctions on Russia would backfire against Europeans. The fake accounts would then promote these propaganda articles on a variety of social networks such as Facebook, Instagram, Telegram, Twitter, petition websites like Change.org and Avaaz, and even on the LiveJournal blogging platform. Meta said that once its team blocked an initial wave of sites, the Russian propaganda network created new ones. Furthermore, when some of these articles needed additional visibility, the official Facebook pages of Russian embassies in Europe and Asia would also lend a hand and reshare their links. Researchers from Curium said this propaganda network was obvious to spot and was also very poorly constructed. For example, an analysis of the server infrastructure revealed that one single actor was behind all websites, most of the content was translated using automated tools and contained many mistakes, and most of the articles were posted in just two time zones corresponding to Western Europe and the Irkutsk region in Russia. Moving on to news and hacks and breaches, the Chilean government got hit by a second ransomware attack in less than a month, with the country's judiciary branch, the PGUD, saying that a ransomware attack impacted a small portion of its enterprise network comprised of Windows 7 systems. This new attack, which took place over the recent weekend, comes after Cernak, the country's national consumer service, was also hit by ransomware at the end of August. Similarly, authentication and authorization platform Oath0 also disclosed a security incident this week, revealing on Monday that a threat actor gained access to older code repositories dating before October 2020. Oath0, who is now owned by Okta, said a threat actor did not gain access to any customer information nor to any of its current network environment, and that they don't have evidence for any data exfiltration or persistent access to its current systems. We also have an update on the Viasat hack. After earlier this year, Viktor Zora, the deputy chairman of Ukrainian cybersecurity agency SSS-CIP, told media outlets that the hack of the Viasat satellite internet network led to a huge loss in communications in the very beginning of the war. The official now says that there was a misunderstanding in Western press about this statement. In an interview with NatSec reporter Kim Zerer at the LabsCon security conference last week, Zora said that while there was a loss of communications for the Ukrainians' military Viasat connectivity, Ukrainian troops coordinated operations just fine, as their primary means of communications were landlines, with Viasat only being a backup solution. Similarly, we also have an update in the Optus hack. On Tuesday, shortly after Australian law enforcement announced a global investigation into the Optus breach, the individual who was selling the company's data online deleted the forum ad and posted a new entry instead, apologizing to the Australian telco for the intrusion and promising not to sell its data to anyone. Australian InfoSec reporter Jeremy Kirk also reported that Optus did not pay a ransom demand to the attacker, so this looks like a decision taken on the hacker's side, most likely intimidated by the coordinated and aggressive law enforcement response. Now moving on to tech news. Speaking at the Kernel Maintainer Summit last week, Linux creator Linus Torvalds announced that the first components written in the Rust secure programming language are coming to the Linux kernel in its upcoming 6.1 release. Also in tech news, the UK's privacy watchdog, the Information Commissioner's Office, also announced this week its plan to fine TikTok £27 million for failing to protect children's privacy online. Transgressions include the processing of data for children under the age of 13 without appropriate parental consent, but also failing to provide proper information to its users in a concise, transparent, and easily understood way. In other tech news, In a study conducted between June and September 2022, security researcher Inti de Sequeler said he was able to successfully track cars based on public data made available by incorrectly designed parking applications. De Sequeler said he was able to find cars for 35 of 120 volunteers who signed up for the study just by querying parking apps and their websites for the car owner's license plate. Moving on to government and politics-related news, Ukrainian military officials issued a dire warning on Monday, claiming that Russia was preparing massive cyber attacks on the critical infrastructure of Ukraine and even its allies. These operations would also be accompanied by DDoS attacks and even missile strikes in Ukraine, officials said. Meanwhile, in the US, a GAO report found several deficiencies in how the US Coast Guard manages its cybersecurity workforce, including a possible disconnect with staffing levels needed to meet its cyberspace mission demands. Based on the most recent data, the Coast Guard has filled 91% of its cybersecurity roles, but since the agency lacks an assessment of the actual number of cyberspace experts needed for its mission, GAO says this staff shortage could actually be higher than just 9%. Now moving on to cybercrime news, Turkish authorities said last week that they detained a cybercrime gang comprised of 10 members in the Diyarbakir province. Authorities said the group ran email-based phishing campaigns through which they lured victims on malicious sites where they collected their passwords for various online accounts. According to local media, 4 members have been released while 6 still remain in custody pending an ongoing investigation. Moving on to threat intelligence news, network security company NetScout has published this week a report on the DDoS landscape for the first half of the year, and the company has found some interesting trends in its data. For example, the company found that the new TP240 phone home protocol that could be abused for gigantic DDoS reflection and amplification attacks and which was discovered in early 2022 was barely abused in the wild because of the swift actions taken by service providers. Similarly, NetScout also noted that once direct DDoS attacks fail on an attacker's desired target, threat actors often resort to using DDoS carpet bombing against entire IP ranges or DDoS attacks on the service's DNS provider, a technique also known as DNS water torture attacks. In the meantime, scammers are also heavily leveraging the war in Ukraine on both sides of the conflict. For example, the security team of Russian bank Sberbank said it spotted a new scam going online with cybercrime groups offering fake certificates of unfitness for military service, also known as white military IDs, to Russian men trying to avoid being mobilized by state authorities and sent to die on the Ukrainian front. Similarly, in the Netherlands, Dutch police said it received over 500 reports about more than 60 webshops that are advertising wood pellets and firewood for the upcoming winter, leveraging the fear around the possible energy and heating crisis, but never delivering the paid goods. In malware-related news, the big midweek reports come from security firms VMware and Kaspersky. VMware published a report about the Halo ransomware gang abusing a new technique to delete volume shadow copies on Windows systems they encrypt, a technique discovered last year by InfoSec group VX Underground. In addition, Kaspersky also published a report on NullMixer, a new popular malware dropper used in massive SEO spam campaigns spreading a large number of second-stage malware strains, but mostly info stealers. In terms of APT and cyber espionage news, we have 2 interesting reports this week, one from Sentinel-1 and the second from Securonix. The Sentinel-1 report describes a Lazarus APT spear phishing operation that uses lures of job offers in the cryptocurrency space to distribute macOS backdoors. The Securonix report describes a new covert spear phishing campaign that started earlier this year and has been targeting multiple military and weapons contractors, including strategic suppliers to the US F-35 fighter jet. And last but not least, we also have 2 new open source tools released by security firms. The first is Avast Yari, which is a debugger for writing Yara rules, while the second is Punk Security's DNS Reaper, a tool that can scan and test domains for subdomain takeover attacks. This concludes the news section of our podcast, and now we'll hear from Piers Berry, Principal Security Researcher at RunZero, today's sponsor, on the recent government efforts to protect networks against ransomware attacks, including some of their guides and free offerings provided by these agencies.
The United States Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency, known as CISA, has been in the news recently regarding several initiatives and efforts. As reported by this podcast, these include the Interagency Joint Ransomware Task Force to combat the rising threat of ransomware and a joint security advisory with the NSA on securing operational technology and industrial control system networks. Taking a broader view, CISA is involved in a number of ongoing cybersecurity initiatives and makes many guides and findings publicly available worldwide at no cost, including the evergreen Known Exploited Vulnerabilities Catalog and the StopRansomware.gov website. Of course, other governments have similar agencies doing similar work, including the UK's National Cybersecurity Center and the Netherlands' National Cybersecurity Centrum. The free offerings provided by these agencies, including best practices, training guides, response guides, known vulnerabilities, and exploitation activity, can be helpful for small businesses or other resource-constrained organizations and shouldn't be overlooked by folks tasked with keeping things secure. And if you are looking for an easy way to discover and inventory assets on your network, visit us at runzero.com, where you can try RunZero for free.
This is it for today's news. You can find links to all the technical reports mentioned in this podcast in our newsletter at riskybiznews.substack.com, and you can subscribe to our podcast via our website at risky.biz.